Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you in part by Purina. Purina is dedicated to creating richer lives for pets and the people who love them. From helping older pets think like their younger selves to making cat ownership a possibility for more people than ever, Purina is helping pets thrive so they can live long, healthy, and happy lives. Purina has you covered for all your furry friends' needs, whether they meow or bark. From litter to treats to their best-in-class, nutrient-packed food with taste your pets will love, Purina's got your back at every stage of your pet's life. Your pet gives you the joy of the spring sunshine all year round. So today and every day, care for your pet with Purina. Your pet is Purina's passion. To learn more, head to amazon.com/Purina.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear us scream and shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.
Hello, Ward.
Hello, Eric.
Well, it's good to see your face. I've seen plenty of it for over the last several days, but good to see it again. I missed it yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, sure.
We had a good thing going, didn't we?
We did. We had one hell of a weekend, except for one part of it, and we'll talk about that. But before we do, as always, we are
powered by
CommunityCars.com. Sponsor of the Hoosier Hysterics. CommunityCars.com. Hoosier Legends Talk with Ward and Eric. CommunityCars.com.
There we go. Back to how we do this. Back to how we do this.
Feels good.
It does. Our friends at CommunityCars.com, Evan Martin and the team, whether you want to buy your car in person, whether you want to do it on the phone, whether you want to not see a human being or talk to a human being and just press a little bit on the Google box and sign some documents, and then boom, in 24 hours, wherever you are in the world, the car shows up on your driveway. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Even on archipelagos?
Yes, and we will get into that.
There it is. Oh, did you have that ready so we could talk about it?
Nope, just happened to be here. By the way, CommunityCars.com, I believe one of the first dealerships in the country, delivering cars by drone.
Yeah, what's surprising is that the drones are no bigger than a normal drone. It's just, how do they get the cars so small? It's like those mattresses.
It is, yes. The cars come folded up in a box. Mm-hmm. You simply pull a tab, and then it unfolds, and there you have it.
Just stand back, especially if you have a Suburban.
So just let's recap. 24-hour delivery anywhere in the world. Never talk to a human being. Delivered by drones. Miniature-sized in a box.
Buy one, get one free.
The buy one, get one free is the most realistic part of what we are now offering. We love Evan Martin. We love CommunityCars.com. We got a lot to talk about.
Okay.
Let's talk about the weekend that we had. As some of you know, actually, I'm sorry. I'm going to back up for a second because I want to say something about the four-part Bob Knight series that we did that we released last week, because we have been inundated with messages from people that have been overwhelming and emotional and mean a tremendous amount to both of us. We were sharing kind of messages over the weekend as they came in. And you know, you said it very early on, it was a privilege to do that and to talk to those people. I mean, I really do feel fortunate to be able to have those conversations and hear those stories. But hearing from the people that listened to the podcast that were touched by the stories, and I got the gamut. Like today I got, man, that I was okay until I heard Michael Lewis say, that was my coach. That's yeah. the coach I knew. That was my coach. Randy Whitman, I heard, you know, people were someone asked me if they could download the Randy Whitman one and burn it to a CD to share with his grandpa.
Oh,
you know, wow. Tom Crean, Mike Davis, Ted Kitchell getting a little choked up, Woody sharing stories. I mean, just it's run the gamut. Everybody kind of picks their favorite story and their favorite way in to Coach Knight. So it just means a tremendous amount that it meant something to a lot of you out there.
Well, it really goes back to how much Coach Knight meant to so many people, not who were directly in his orbit. Obviously, that's the case with all those people who spoke to us and many more who didn't. But so many of us, you know, just in orbit in the greater sense of his planet, whether we were in the state of Indiana for those decades or had parents who were from there and raised those children right in St. Louis. He just affected so many people of so many different generations that it was wonderful to get that cross section of players and people who worked with him and knew him. And then to know that, yeah, that's the cross section of listeners too, from generations older to us to younger. It just seemed like there was something there for everybody. And no matter what your era was or your connection or your favorite player, we all got to learn so much more about him and his effect over decades in Bloomington.
Yes. So thank you to everyone. All right. Now back to your regularly scheduled program, our weekend. We decided to do a road trip. It started way back when we talked to Mackenzie Holmes, where we were like, yeah, we're going to take a road trip to Maine.
To Portland, Maine. We're driving it, baby.
Then a couple months later, when we realized that they were playing against Stanford, I remember calling Ward and saying, we're not going to Maine, right?
yeah, no. I don't think we could have convinced the ladies and our children to make the trip to Portland.
No. But we did convince them to all pile into a rented Sprinter van, 10 seats, 10 seatbelts, 4 of the seats basically baby seats.
In the back, facing each other. About half the electronics worked.
Half of the electronics worked half of the time. So we piled in and we drove up to Palo Alto. We left on Friday morning. And honestly, no hijinks really on the ride up. It was a pretty easy ride up.
It was a straight shot. We got some Wayback burgers. My wife had to take a Zoom in the Sprinter van. And we were in Northern California in no time.
No time at all. And pulled right up to the Graduate Hotel in Palo Alto. And look, they are not a sponsor. They should be, for as much love as we give them. But that hotel chain, you've stayed in the one in Nashville.
Yep.
You had a great experience there.
Wonderful.
The Palo Alto one, unbelievable. Best part about it?
Parking for the Sprinter van?
Water pressure.
Oh, yes. God, because I told you the one in Nashville didn't have very good water pressure either. So we thought maybe it was a corporate decision to just have a trickle, because it's certainly terrible in Bloomington, equally as bad in Nashville. Maybe the best shower of my life in Palo Alto.
It reminded me of like old timey movies when you see kids playing with a fire hydrant and they just open it up and you play in the street. That's what the pressure felt like. Beautiful hotel, an old timey elevator that you had to pull the door.
Oh, the kids loved it.
It was awesome.
Well, and let's not forget our man John out at the valet station, where we're like, where on earth can we park this enormous Sprinter van that carries 10 people? And you pulled it in at a slightly odd angle, but like the correct one. So its ass was sticking, you know, as least far out onto University Avenue as possible. And I was like, I don't know what you want to do with this thing, John, but whatever you need to do. And he was like, nah, we'll just leave it there.
Didn't move. Did not move that weekend.
Not at all. If we ever couldn't find the 10-story hotel we were staying in, all we had to do was look for the van.
So we get in, and a little birdie told us where the IU women were having dinner. We made a reservation at the same place, and we took the 10 of us to that restaurant, which we rolled deep all weekend. 10 deep.
It's not stalking when you're rolling with 10 people, including women and children. It's much less weird that way.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely gives us cover, for sure. And got to see the entire women's program there, which was awesome. Everybody was in good spirits. That wouldn't last all weekend.
No, we caught them on the good side of the weekend.
Yeah, we did what we could to spread our curse on them as the weekend started, and clearly that worked. But great time.
Can we just talk about how dearest Holly, your significant other, and the moment that maybe I'll remember best from the weekend is when Coach Morin came over to say hello, and Holly, who is cool as a cucumber, has worked around, been around some of the biggest names on earth, was so flustered to see her just struggling to articulate words when she met Coach Morin was like the most adorable thing I've ever seen.
Holly has interviewed presidents. And Terry Morin came around to the table, and Holly turned into a mess of a human. She was just, it's honor, privilege to you meet. Always wanted to meet. So see you on TV. And then Terry Morin slowly backed away from the table.
Hid in the hedges.
Great dinner. After the dinner, went back to the hotel. You and I did a circuit.
We did the Stanford Loop.
And I will say, I wanted to hate Palo Alto the way that I wanted to hate Lawrence, Kansas.
Yep.
And did not hate it. Not hate the town. We'll get to the next day. Did not hate the town, but was sure that I would hate the campus because no campus comes close to Bloomington, of course. So we got up the next morning. You went for a nice long run. I went for a nice long cigar.
Yeah. Annie and I got a sneak preview of the campus on our run. And I told you, you know, it's pretty far. When you're jogging, it's not too bad to get from the hotel to campus, but after having a delicious meal at Sweet Maple, which included, you know, Flynn got like just a platter of six different kinds of bacon. There was French toast, there was waffles, and there was bulldogs that came by we could pet. And then we're like, yeah, let's roll with 10 people of various sizes to the campus. It's down that away.
Beautiful campus. I mean, goddamn it. It just blew me away. It looks like it's built by the smartest people in the world, the best architects in the world, the best designers, the best landscape artists. I mean, it's just perfect.
Look, first shots fired and only shots fired because we're really getting nitpicky here. But it's real flat, okay? It doesn't have those beautiful, undulating, rolling hills that Bloomington does. But aside from that, you basically, as you walk into that giant circle that greets you as you stride onto campus.
The Oval, the Stanford Oval.
The Stanford Oval. And then you're facing the quad and you're like, gosh, I bet the Vatican has some real envy to this setup because it is so grand. It is so epic. It is so symmetrical.
Yes.
That you just can't help but be in awe. And yes, realize you are in fact at one of the great learning institutions the human race has ever put on the earth.
Now, I will say some of it is facade because we did peek into a classroom and it looked like a piece of shit. It looked like an old school ninth floor Ballantine, been there forever classroom. So the actual classroom did not impress, but the campus surely did. And we spent hours just walking to the campus, around the campus. We did take a break to watch the IU football game, the end of the IU football game, which, of course, when we turn it on, gives us enough time to get our hopes up with the touchdown to send it into overtime and then play it conservative, three and out, kick a field goal, and then give up a touchdown because of a blown defensive end, not, you know,
stealing.
Not sealing and not staying true to his line and letting the QB roll out, throw a 21-yard touchdown. An embarrassing defensive performance for a football team that was on the brink and fell off of it because they needed that game, obviously. And it's going to be a really interesting end of this season to see what happens, because you do look at the Penn State game where they fought like hell, then obviously played well against Wisconsin. Then the offense against Illinois looked awesome in a road win. Sorsby looked really good. McCulley looked really good. Defense looked like horseshit. A couple things go different in that. One thing goes different in that Illinois game, and a couple things go different in that Penn State game. And you're looking at a team right now with five wins with two to go. And I just don't know what's going to happen with this era of football. I mean, I still believe that they're going to give Tom Allen another year because of the buyout and because it has shown improvement over last year with a quarterback that's a freshman, a redshirt freshman.
Well, and three games in a row that were certainly better than the three games prior. And, you know,
with a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah. And you win one or two of these next last couple of games, and you're really in this place where you're like, well, it wasn't definitively just a disaster. It certainly wasn't definitively successful, because one of those ends with like another 2-win season, the other one ends with 6 wins and a bowl. So you're kind of in this middle ground with the arrow. Well, we'll see. There's 2 weeks to go. Right now it feels like it's edging up. The arrow's pointing slightly up. We'll see what it feels like after two more games.
Yeah, I mean, look, if they end the season with 5 wins, I mean, that is not success, because success is a bowl game, but it is better than last year and showing improvement. And they signed a 2-year contract or multi-year contract with the offensive coordinator. You've got a redshirt quarterback. You've got some skill pieces, you know, in wide receiver. You still have Jalen Lucas. So who knows? I think that if he wins both games, there's no chance they're getting rid of him. I mean, no chance. No chance.
It was in stark contrast to, you know, after we Hoosiers were strolling through Stanford campus, a couple of us smoking cigars, which they probably frowned upon, and watching our football team lose, to go back to the hotel after that and watch Kalen DeBoer and Michael Penix Jr. Win yet another game and stay undefeated again, and just be like, I cannot believe we had that coach. I cannot believe we had that quarterback. Oh, wait, yes, I can. We're Indiana football.
That's right. Where the good ones leave. Hit up a restaurant that was okay, average. I mean, we had some great food the night before. We had great food that morning, but this place was average at best. But then did the circuit, smoked some cigars.
But that's where rolling 10 deep and not like having a plan we had a plan. We went to this ramen place that was very highly reviewed a few blocks down. We got there and there was 1,640 people in line. It was clearly the best ramen anywhere in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah, agreed. And we couldn't get into it. So we got stuck with a restaurant that no one was at, which is always a bad sign on Saturday night at 7 o'clock. But we hit up a really good place afterward. That's a diner that's been there for like 90 years or 80 years.
You just know that was a place that Coach Knight would have felt super comfortable sitting down for a meal and a dessert.
You got a cookie and ice cream. I had my classic hot fudge sundae. Annie got some cheesecake.
The kids got to sit at another table, so they didn't have to deal with us.
Yeah, it was great. It was it was pure heaven. And then did the circuit again, smoked a cigar, had a nice night.
Another nice thing about Palo Alto, not painfully cold in the middle of the night when we go to smoke cigars.
No, it was just really nice, clean. Just everything was really nice. And then Sunday was the big day because it's game day. And the first thing we did on Sunday is what you do on Sunday morning. We got in line at the ramen place.
Before it opened. We were like, we are not getting turned away again. And we got lucky, because if we had been just one group back, we would have to sit there and wait for 45 minutes. But we were like the last 10 people sat in there. And my, oh my, to me, that was worth it.
I agree. It was also worth it to watch you, who asked for the spice level of 5. And within 10 minutes, Ward is just sweating. I mean, it didn't stop you. You kept eating. You kept going for it.
You can't stop. It only gets worse when you stop. But I know the spice level is coming correct when the napkins, they didn't give us napkins. They gave us tissue paper. A whole box of tissue paper is at your table when you arrive. So you know it's serious that I could actually just put it to my upper lip or to my forehead and it would stay. Yeah. I didn't even have to keep holding it on there.
We were eating fried chicken and ramen at 11 a.m. and then we got everything packed up because now it's the time for the main attraction. Let's get to this game to watch two of the best programs in the country, a heavyweight fight. Battle it out. Who's going to win? Who's going to set themselves up as being like a top 5 team heading into the rest of the pre-conference season? And the arena is whatever.
No, I mean, it's honestly, it kind of looks like a dump from the outside, and inside it's like slightly bigger than Wilkinson.
Yeah, but there are definitely high school gyms in Indiana that are more impressive. Definitely.
Oh yeah.
And we were excited. We were sitting in the third to last row.
But really, that's like the sixth row at Assembly Hall.
It's true. Good seats. And within 45 seconds, the game was over. I mean, it was an ass kicking from beginning to end, the likes of which I don't remember seeing. I mean, it was so bad from the beginning with no run ever for Indiana. Never felt like we were in the game. Never felt like we matched up with them in any way. Felt like they were better. And like you said, they were better than us by a significant margin in every aspect of the game of basketball.
There was no silver lining. There wasn't even like where we score a bucket, we get a stop and go score another bucket, and you can start to believe that a run is happening. You never even thought we were about to get it going. We never got it going at all. Well, you know what it felt like? It felt like you and me going to an Indiana basketball game.
That is exactly what it felt like. And you know what the biggest kick in the balls, or what I would say punch in the nose of the whole thing was? At the end of the game, Lexi Bargesar gets hit in the face and is like bleeding. And we think she's bleeding. We're far away, but it appears that she's bleeding. And at the moment that she is bleeding, I look over and my youngest daughter Ainsley is just gushing blood from her nose like a spigot.
You're like those twins in G.I. Joe that work for Cobra. Like you punch one and the other one feels pain. She's connected to her.
She's connected. She bled all the way down the steps. So we left some of our DNA there. We left it there. We soiled that place, stuffed up her nose, got in the car, fired up the Sprinter, time to head out of town. Everything going well. Until there was a car accident on the 2-lane highway that connects the 101 to the 5, where there's nowhere to go.
We were just stuck. Nothing but hills and cows. And look, you say all is well. No, it wasn't, because I got to say, even before we got to the accident, I felt like that game, and maybe the fact that Annie and I got in a fight at the beginning of the game didn't help either.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah, because that's when we were sitting 10 wide. So it was nothing. It was, I think we both knew what the game had in store for us, and we were on edge. And so I left Palo Alto while everything up to the game was like, what a great trip. My kids had never been on a big road trip with like six other, you know, six kids total, all just stuffed into a van and doing facial masks in the hotel room late at night. It was so great. But by the time we were driving, leading into that accident, I already felt like just the life had been drained out of me. And then we basically come into a standstill in the middle of nowhere.
So you get in a fight with Annie. Indiana gets smoked and boat raced. My daughter starts bleeding uncontrollably. And then we get stuck in the worst traffic possible, which turned a 5-hour drive into basically a 7-hour drive.
And all we really wanted was to find somewhere to get gas and an In-N-Out burger. But it is the longest stretch in California without an In-N-Out burger. It's like 250 miles.
And I'm not proud of when we stopped, what I did as far as food. I'm not proud of it. Everybody split off to their own fast food place.
It was kind of an amazing place because we'd stopped in there. It was where Wayback Burgers were, but we were so fixated on that, we didn't notice across the street where there are like five gas stations that there's actually eight different fast food places. It was a smorgasbord, and anybody could pick any fast food they wanted to eat and go eat it.
And so Ward, me, and Porter, Ward's son, chose McDonald's. Which I did not realize Ward has McDonald's once a week.
Every Tuesday.
That is incredible. Is it just you or the family?
No. It's the day the kids get out of school early and they have music lesson pretty much right when we get home. So we grab some Mickey D's on the way home. It's kind of a tradition, but makes it even more incredible that both Porter and I chose to get it again 5 days later, 2 days before we were going to get it again, like we did today.
I haven't ordered McDonald's. I've had breakfast at McDonald's. I love a McGriddle, but I haven't had McDonald's like dinner. I honestly cannot remember when. It's been 20 years probably.
Well, and you really didn't this time either, did you?
Well, ultimately I ate probably half of the quarter pounder. And all the fries.
And some of my fries.
And your fries. But Holly was at the Little Caesars. And I said, why don't you go pick me up a slice of that too? They didn't do slices. So I ate half a pizza.
Well, and that's when you went into McDonald's to use the bathroom while we were waiting on our food. They sent us over to the parking spot. And Holly calls back and she's like, hey, yeah, they don't do it by the slice. Should I get a whole pizza? And I'm like, you know, he got a value meal. I wouldn't. She's like, yeah, no, he doesn't need to do that. And then before you knew that you didn't really like your cheeseburger, you were furious at us for making that decision and called her back and demanded she order a full pizza.
The pizza was pretty good. The pizza at Little Caesars was really good.
It looked better than any pizza I've ever gotten from Little Caesars.
The crust was buttery, crispy. There was a lot of cheese. It was good. I mean, I dug it. You took over driving. And the only thing I could think of to, and look, it was still fun. We were playing songs. But the way that the trip was ending was not great. But we were so excited because at least we could go home and watch Indiana boat race army, right?
Of course.
At least we had that. You and I both decided not to find out what happened in the game, even though a couple messages snuck in that made us think it wasn't going well.
They were ominous, like not so ominous that like you were like, oh, if we had lost, there would have been 150 texts and we would have seen something furious. It was like, I don't think we played very well. That's going to be my guess going in to watch this.
Well, that guess would have been accurate.
Right on the nose.
Because then I come home at 10:30 and I'm watching this game. And I'm like, I can't believe my night's going to end like this. I can't believe this weekend, which for the most part, 90% was awesome, is going to end with watching Indiana just play horrible basketball. I mean, horrid basketball against a team that was ranked 341 that had lost to, I believe, Rider or Marist or maybe both. They were terrible, and Khalil Ware looked pretty good.
Yep.
No one else did.
You know, I do like what Gabe does when he's out there. I can't help it.
Okay. I mean, Gabe did not have a good game in that game. He had turnovers. He hit a big three at the end. He hit one big three, but the defense was terrible. We gave up wide open three-pointer after wide open three-pointer. The offense looks a mess. It was not good basketball.
Yeah, no, in no way, shape, or form was it good basketball. And it just, these are the games, because the ladies team, the game before, had won like, I don't know, by 30, 40 points, whatever it was. You know, we had texts that I believe you did.
You mean we lost by 30 or 40?
No. The game before they came to Stanford.
Oh yes, they smoked them. They won by four. Like, they won by 50.
This is what the Army game was supposed to be. You know, you see Ball State beat Goshen by like 62 points. You're like, this is what this is going to be for us. We're finally going to have something to cheer about, and we just really didn't. And it was watching, because you know, okay, We snuck out of the ladies' game a little bit early because there was a bleeding situation, but we were pretty much there till the bitter end, far after the conclusion of the game, that's for sure. And then to watch 40 minutes of the men's game, because, you know, you got to watch it to the end, was like, that was 80 minutes, 75 of just terrible basketball by Indiana teams. And it's, I don't know, after a whole off season of being excited about the talent on the men's side, who's coming back for the ladies and them being so good all the time, always, it was very sobering.
Yeah. It was a real wake up call. Yeah. I will say congrats to the men's soccer team.
Yeah.
That won the Big Ten championship, both the regular season and the conference championship.
And you know why? You know why?
Because we didn't watch it.
We didn't watch a minute of it. You're welcome, men's soccer team.
So, yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to overreact right now. We're 2-0. It could be worse. We could have lost one or both of those games. But clearly, there's some real concerning things about the team that have been talked about ad nauseum since the game. The offense looks a mess and looks like we don't know what we're doing in the half court. We don't push the ball in transition, which seems like we should, because we've got a five who can really run. We've got Xavier Johnson, who's super fast. It seems like that's what we should be doing to get some easy buckets, because we don't generate easy buckets. And the biggest concern is Mackenzie Mbako.
Look, we generate easy buckets for the other team by leaving them wide open and not knowing what the hell we're doing on switches or how to close out properly. And when they're swishing three pointers, how can you get out and run when you got to take the ball out of bounds and give it to the guy who's standing there waiting for it?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Although I would say, like, they went 13 of like 30 something from the 3-point line. That's a lot of misses that we don't turn into easy buckets, long rebounds, fair. You know. Fair. It's just not good basketball. My biggest concern so far is Mackenzie.
They got a lot of offensive rebounds too, though. Go ahead, Mackenzie.
That's true. Yes. They did. The rebounding hasn't been good at all. I am most worried and concerned that Mackenzie Mbako just doesn't even look like he's part of the offense in the first two games. Like, he'll come off a pick and hit that beautiful shot, and you're like, wow, that's something we haven't had. And then we don't run anything for him. I'm watching that game, and I watched it a second time, not that night, but yesterday. And all I could think, Ward, is, we've got Mackenzie Mbako, and we're doing the same exact things with him that we did with Miller Kopp. Like, not running a bunch for him, just letting him drift a little bit, hope that the ball finds him.
Yeah.
And he took two shots in that whole game. Obviously, it doesn't look right now like it's working with Mackenzie Mbako and Khalil and Malik all playing at the same time. And the only times we've been decent in these games is when Malik's been on the bench and we're going with a smaller lineup, three guards.
Well, and we are playing smaller teams, you know, and we've adjusted in both games to reflect that. And I think that's going to have to be the case when we're going against the Northwesterns and Penn States and teams that play that way. I don't really know how many Big Ten teams have kind of 3-6-8 guys and above that our lineup of those guys is going to make sense for. But I imagine there's a few. It's the Big Ten, and it's not always going to be like, oh God, I got to chase this little guy around and I can't. But, you know, the thing about Mackenzie is, look, he's a freshman, and I think we got really spoiled with Jalen, who came in from Montverde and was like clearly a really special guy.
Ready to go.
Upstairs as much as he was physically, athletically. So I'm not hitting the panic button on Mackenzie yet, but if he wants to stay out there, he will have to figure out more on the defensive end, because that's why Miller Kopp played like 32 minutes a game, because he knew where he should be and everybody else should be. So Mackenzie's got to get that straightened out.
Totally. And then, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about Peyton Sparks, too, and being so excited about the kind of impact that Peyton can make. I love Peyton Sparks. We got to get to know him a little bit over the fantasy weekend. Great kid who is so happy to be at Indiana and busts his ass. But here's the deal with Peyton Sparks. You are never going to play Peyton Sparks and Khalil Ware together, right?
No.
Like, they're not going to play together. Okay. Khalil Ware is the best player on the team. He is the most versatile. He can do the most damage. He's the only rim protector that we have. He can stretch the floor. He can run. He's the best player on the team, it seems. At least the most talented player on the team. he's going to play the same number of minutes basically that Trace played, which is about 35 minutes, which means Peyton Sparks gets 5 minutes a game. He played 9 in the game against Army, and I think that's because the first unit wasn't playing great, and Woody wanted to see Peyton get some run here in his first game. But he's just not going to play many minutes at all, and not enough minutes to make any real impact. He's just not, because you can't play them together. So unless Khalil gets in foul trouble, which he's been really good at in not making stupid fouls, I just don't think he's going to play a lot to make any a real impact. I think he's going to be a really good 5 to 8 minute a game player.
Yeah, I think any reasonable person would agree with that. And, you know, there'll be a game here or there. Maybe he needs to come in and just like knock Zach Edey a few feet out of the post for a while and just batter him a little bit and push him around. But that'll be very matchup dependent. And, you know, I think Peyton came into this eyes wide open, and anybody sort of paying attention to what bringing him in was all about was like, yeah, that's about depth. And it's kind of unfortunate that we've been struggling so much early on, because you would like to see us stretch out to a 20, 25 point lead in the first half against Army and see some of these guys who are really, really struggling early on, CJ, Caleb, you know, and just Peyton, who was injured. You really want to see them get some run in that notion of a second unit, if you will. But we've just kind of had to like, okay, which 4 guys plus one more could possibly get the ball in the bucket for us so we don't lose in a humiliating fashion.
And then the other concern, you know, shooting. It's just still the concern. This team doesn't look for threes. It's not a big emphasis for Woody in this offense. I saw a tweet from Rabby that said in the first 2 games, Indiana attempted 24 three-pointers combined. Purdue made 24 three-pointers in the first 2 games. We're just still not playing 2023 basketball. We're playing 1990s basketball right now. We haven't prioritized shooting. We went after Peyton Sparks and Anthony Walker in the transfer portal, 2 guys who are not shooters. CJ Gunn, it just doesn't look good right now.
Well, it goes back to this idea of like recruiting offense and teaching defense. And it's like, it's great to have 6'8", 6'9", guys with length that can clog up the lanes and protect the boards. But man, like, it's so hard to learn to how to shoot well in gameplay at the Division I level. And you know, look, okay, Caleb coming in, he's got all the sort of attributes, and we think that can develop. Okay. All right. You know, sophomore year, hopefully we'll see some progress. It's early in the season. CJ, I mean, those shots aren't coming close right now.
No, our misses are bad. We have bad misses. So concern, Thursday night, we play Wright State, which is a better team than I think the 2 teams that we've played so far. And that's the tune-up for UConn. And I got to say, I watched the Kansas-Kentucky game tonight, and I watched the Michigan State-Duke game. Michigan State, I don't think, looked great, especially offensively. They hung in there, but Duke beat them. But that Kansas-Kentucky game, man, we're not playing the same sport that those teams are playing. We are not. We do not look like we're in the same universe as those teams, and that is disheartening. But we're going to find out. I mean, I could also be totally wrong. We're going to find out. We play UConn, and we'll see what happens. There's a chance we play Louisville. That should be a win.
Well, we'll see, one game at a time. And it is 2 games into a team that has, what, 10 new players, a lot of them young. The older ones are they've been role players or come in as role players. And I do believe Woody has gotten both teams, his first 2 seasons, I should say, to come together towards the end of the season. And two very different seasons. One, a lot that I think had to do with injury. And you did have an exceptional freshman and an all-time legend in Trace Jackson Davis last year. So it's not exactly apples to apples, but I do think it's early November, and I still think we have talent. How long is it going to take to get the most out of this talent? And I hope it's not in like June.
Well, and also you just hope that we don't get tripped up by a couple of these teams, because if you get, and I'm not talking about UConn or Kansas or Auburn even, although it would be nice to win one of those three games when you're talking about a team that might be fighting for tournament selection. But if you get tripped up by one of these teams, and let's be honest, either one of these games, a one shot goes different, you know, at a certain point at the last 3-4 minutes, and these games could have turned differently. You just hope you don't get tripped up. But as long as they don't, then they're on course to do what they need to do, win the games that you need to win, that you should win, and try to compete in those games that are the challenges. We will see. But you know what's most exciting?
What's that?
Who we get to talk to today.
It's the future. You know, look, we've already clearly in our own minds just flushed this whole season down the toilet. So let's look at next season.
I love within 20 seconds of you saying it's early November, the teams get better, right to straight line to flush the season. No, we're not flushing the season, but clearly the most exciting thing that has happened in Indiana basketball over the last many months is the guy that we're talking to today. So let's stop talking and get to him.
Here comes our guest. Here comes our guest.
Hailing from Richardson, Texas, we are talking to a gentleman that as a sophomore at John Paul II averaged 17 points a game, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks in 38 games, all which he started. His team won the TAP 6A state championship after going 31-7 and winning 10 straight to close the season. He was first team All-State 2022 before he then moved to Mount Verd down in Florida, the single best prep program, high school program in the country. And last year, he shot 44.8% from three. I'm just going to repeat that because we love how that sounds. He shot 44.8% from three. He is a member of the Florida Rebels AAU program. He had several family members who played college basketball. He is ranked 15th by 247, 13th by ESPN, 13th by Rivals, 15th by On3. He is a 5-star. And just about a month ago, he made a nation of people rejoice when he announced that he was coming to Indiana University. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Liam McNeely.
Thank you.
So, how does it feel to be a Hoosier?
I mean, it feels great. I mean, we've been at this thing for a long time, but I had to make it official. So I'm really happy.
I got to say, you look great in the gear. It's clearly your color. Do you just have a closet full now? Is it just all loaded up?
I got some stuff I'm going to pull out. You know, everybody's going to see it.
I love it. All right. I want to talk about what's going on now, and then we'll go in the time machine and get your full story. So, am I wrong that I read that your season officially opened yesterday and you guys won 118-28?
Yeah, we played last night. We got a pretty good win.
Yeah.
Super fun.
When you win by when you were up by 70, were you just throwing balls over your head and shooting from half court for fun?
I mean, by the time we were up 70, I was on the bench and the young guys were getting to play. So, I mean, it was just super fun to see them get to play a bunch and, I mean, get back out there with the team.
Well, obviously you guys have been cooking for a bit with the AAU squad, right? That's pretty much all of the same players. But what is it like going into your senior season in terms of what's in your mind for what you want to improve in your own game and what you want to accomplish with the team?
Something that I want to improve on is just my defensive game and guarding smaller guards, because I like to say I'm a bigger guard, I'm a wing, but you're only the position that you can guard. So I got to make sure I can guard as many spots as I can to be as versatile as I can. And then something that I'm looking forward to for the team is just having an undefeated season and winning the Geico National Championship.
I like that. I don't want to get into the decision to come to IU yet, because we'll get that at the tail end of your story. But I do want to talk about what your life has been like in the last month since you decided. I mean, are you just inundated with social media from IU people who are ready to basically have your child?
Well, the Indiana fans have, like I've said in a bunch of interviews, they've showed like a crazy amount of love. They've been everywhere. They've been at my games around the country. They've showed so much love on Twitter, Instagram. I mean, but when I committed, the phone just blew up even more.
What is the craziest tweet or text message or interaction you've had with an Indiana fan so far?
Present company excluded.
Yeah. I would say my favorite tweet that I've seen, it was a video reaction to me committing on ESPN. And the guy, he said a couple bad words. He was a little nervous, but it was all worth it in the end to see his reaction.
Who is the coolest person that has either liked something, reached out, DM'd? Who's the coolest person? You can say it. You could say it.
Besides Coach Woodson.
Yes. Besides, now, Indiana, good. Nobody media on the training. Staff counts.
Media training. That's good, though.
Yeah.
Probably Mark Cuban. That's that hit close to home just because he coaches the Mavericks. I'm from Dallas. I grew up watching the Mavs, so it was crazy.
Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, that is just awesome. All right, let's do this. Let's hop in the time machine and let's go back to your childhood. When did you fall in love with the game of basketball? What is your earliest memory of basketball?
I don't think there's a time when I fell in love with basketball, just because basketball has been a part of my life since I can remember, before I can remember. Started playing when I was 2. Played at the YMCA. I mean, yes, it's just been a huge part of my life, my family's life. And I'd say my earliest memory is just playing in kindergarten with my friends at the YMCA.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Now, your family's history with basketball goes back to, if I'm not mistaken, the American Revolution. And your great-great-great-grandfather played with George Washington in pickup games. But when did you realize, oh, it's not just me and my buddies at the Y hooping it up? When did you come to appreciate how special your heritage is so far as basketball history goes?
I would probably say when I got to middle school, that's when it like really hit me that like Division I basketball in my family has gone back for a really long time. You know, my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my mom, both my uncles. I mean, it's just a crazy story to think about it. I'm just trying to continue the legacy.
How good is your mom at basketball?
You know, she was pretty good back in her day. I don't know how she gets with me now, but I mean, she taught me how to shoot, so she can obviously shoot pretty well.
Do you remember the first time you beat her in a game of Horace or one-on-one?
I do. We used to play all the time back when I was younger. She used to beat me sometimes, but the first time I beat her, she never played me again.
I like that. She's competitive. I get it. I like that a lot. When did you start to realize that this wasn't just you having fun playing with your buddies, but that you were really good and that this could be, you know, something else for you besides just a recreational activity?
I mean, like I said, basketball's, I've been playing it since before I can remember. So, I mean, it's just been something that I've loved the most. It's been like, makes me the happiest thing in the world just to play basketball. But I probably realized that I could do something special with it in middle school. Just playing on my middle school team. That was the first time I played for a school. And then just 7th grade and 8th grade, just playing with dad, started to take it real serious.
It might be asking you, why do you like to breathe air? But is there a particular part about basketball that really makes you smile when you wake up in the morning? Is it improving? Is it winning? Is it just being in the gym with a bunch of buddies and seeing what you can come up with on the court? Can you define that?
Other than basketball just being a game that I love to play, I think like a smaller, like just crazy want that I have is just that obsession of getting better every day. And once you see progress the first time, you become obsessed with it and want to progress every day and get better in every way that you can.
Did you have teams, whether college or pro? I assume you've been a Mavericks fan your whole life, basically. Were you an NBA guy more than a college guy growing up as a kid?
Probably when I was younger, just because I went to a bunch of Dallas Mavs game, and that was like the only thing that was on my mind when I thought of basketball. just Dirk Nowitzki and all them. But as I got into middle school and high school, I've definitely watched a lot of college basketball.
Do you remember when the Mavs won their title?
I do. I was at the banner raising the season after.
Nice. Wow. And did you just lose your mind when they won that?
I mean, I was 6'7", so however much energy a little kid could have, I was producing that energy.
I love that. I love it.
What, you know, whether it's going back then up to present day, who are some of the players you don't necessarily say, oh, I'm like them or I'm like that guy, but who do you watch in particular and find yourself gravitating towards picking up on their moves or the way they see the court?
So the first player that I grew up watching was Dirk Nowitzki, just because he was a Mav, he won championship, MVP, all that. And just like one thing that I've really taken from him is how high he shoots the ball and the arc that he shoots with. Because if you see, go back, he shoots that like 20, 30 feet high sometimes.
Yeah.
But now I really like Luka because he's a Mav, just his playmaking ability, how he can make his teammates better. And another player is, I love Jimmy Butler's toughness. Mm. He just does everything he can to win. I love watching that.
Same thing with Luka, by the way, on the arc, right? The guy really puts arc on his shots. You know, I know they shoot very differently, but that guy throws some rainbows up there that you're like, is that even in the same zip code? And it just splashes.
Must be a European thing.
Must be. Yeah. All right, forgetting basketball for a second, because we like to learn what you're like off the court. So basketball obviously was your obsession, but what other stuff were you into as a kid? Were you a movie guy? Like TV? What were you into?
I mean, I love movies. I love TV. I've watched a lot of movies, a lot of TV. Love hanging out with my friends.
Give us your favorite movie.
I can't give you a favorite movie.
We'll tell you what your favorite movie.
Hold on.
I mean, we just want to.
I can tell you my favorite movie. I can tell you my favorite.
Yeah. What is it? There it is.
Hoosiers. Amazing.
There it is. He got it.
There it is. All right. So we've talked to a lot of recruits that have come to Indiana. Very few kids your age have seen the movie Hoosiers. Was that a thing that was in your family? Was your family a big fan of that movie?
Definitely. I mean, me and my mom's watched it a bunch. My mom's watched it countless times. My grandmother loves the movie. I mean, I was watching Hoosiers before I knew Indiana was a state. That's how young I was when I was watching.
I love that. You're Jimmy Chitwood. I mean, that's how we're looking at you. You're Jimmy Chitwood. All right, so movies, that's good, Hoosiers. If you had to pick another movie that's not sports-related that you like, doesn't have to be your favorite, but one you love, give it to me.
Any of the Star Wars movies.
Ooh, nice.
I grew up watching those as a kid, watched them countless times.
All right, but give us your favorite Star Wars movie. This is an important question.
I mean, so I'm younger than y'all.
Right.
All right. We don't need the reminder, but, Liam. We get it.
No,
we
have mirrors. I see what he's doing here. Like he's getting a setup to say it's not going to be a part of the original trilogy.
Well, let's just see what his answer
My
is.
My favorite in the original trilogy is The Empire Strikes Back, of course.
That's Slam a correct dunk. Answer.
Slam dunk.
Of the sequel trilogy, it is definitely Revenge of the Sith.
Great. Okay. How do you feel about the prequels?
You know, a lot of people hate them. I didn't hate them. I'm just a Star Wars fan. I loved it, regardless of if it was a little cheesy. It didn't make sense. I still loved it.
What did you think of Andor?
That was fantastic.
Yes.
What about Rogue One?
Great film.
Rogue One?
I mean, it fits perfectly with Andor. It's just a great, great storytelling right there and great movie.
What is your take on Jar Jar Binks?
So I mean, I grew up watching Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar Binks is like the first comedy character that I grew up watching. So always loved
I thought to be a comedy character, it had to be funny.
That's I don't get it.
I get it. All right, let's move to TV. Are you a TV guy? You like some TV shows? We obviously covered Andor. Give me a TV show as a kid that you grew up on.
TV show as a kid. I mean, I watched all the Disney Channel shows. My sister is 3 years older than me. I grew up with her, so I had to watch all her girly shows when I was little.
What was she into, like Sam and Cat and that kind of stuff?
just into a bunch of Barbie. I don't want to watch a bunch of Barbie shows, movies.
So. Sure. Any My Little Pony?
No, she wasn't into that. So thankfully I wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to trap you in young Liam with your television likes. What's something you're into now, whether it's a new show or an older show you binge?
So I've watched Game of Thrones. That's probably the best show ever.
Yeah.
Peaky Blinders. I'm watching that again. Vikings. That's like my top three shows.
I love that you love Peaky Blinders. That's a good cut.
How about music? What do you listen to, whether you're putting around the house doing homework or when you're in the gym?
No, I really listen to rap. I mean, I know a bunch of like 90s rock songs just because my mom loved those. I grew up listening to those, but if I'm on the aux and I'm choosing music, I'm playing rap.
All right. I got to ask you, is your mom to your right now?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I like how you had to check which direction that was.
We have a lot of respect for your mom. She clearly did an amazing job raising you. She is going to know she's going to answer this question. Yes. But we need you to answer this question. Yes. Hopefully. Do you know who John Cougar Mellencamp is?
She does, but I do not.
Is she nodding right now? She knows?
She is.
All right, listen. You got Hoosiers. Your mom did that great for you. To understand what it means to be in Indiana, you got to go with John Mellencamp. Listen to Jack and Diane, Pink Houses. What else, Ward? Those
small
two?
Town. Small town.
Those three. Small Town, Pink Houses, Jack and Diane, and then you'll be full bore Hoosier. Those are the only things you need. Hoosier's movie and those three songs.
I mean, I've probably heard them before, but I just don't remember them.
Uh-huh. You'll recognize them. And if you were driving around during your visits to Bloomington with the radio on, you definitely heard those songs.
Probably.
There's no radio anymore. There's no radio.
In Indiana, there is.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right. So, food. Let's talk about food. What is your single favorite food?
Steak, for sure.
Oh, what kind?
So, my vague answer is ribeye, but my more detailed answer is tomahawk ribeye.
Dude, you and I are going to be best friends. I mean, we're best friends, right? Like, I would eat tomahawk ribeye every night and every morning. I love it so much. Yeah. And I have gone on meat-only diets before. I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay. So what about when you need some recovery time? Your coaches, your trainers like, Liam, get away from the basketball court, get away from the gym. You need to just chill out a little bit. What are you doing for fun? Do you have a hobby, a pastime, something to just relax, maybe have some laughs?
When I'm in Florida, I'll play video games. I'll go get food. I'll go hang out with the team. When I'm back home in Dallas, I'll see my childhood friends, spend time with them, go eat, go drive around, just chill, really.
What's the video game of choice?
NBA 2K, Fortnite's making a little comeback. That's what everybody's on right now.
My son is obsessed with Fortnite and skins in particular. Are there any particular Fortnite skins you like to rock?
No, I don't have any more like that. When I was young, I was super into it, but not anymore.
On NBA 2K, who do you play with? Who's your team, the Mavs?
I mean, if I got to choose, I'd choose the Mavs, but the best team is probably the Lakers or the Warriors, just because LeBron and Curry, it's not fair.
Well, isn't it more because Jalen Hood-Schifino and Trayce Jackson-Davis are on those teams?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's what I was about to say.
Very good. All right, let's get back into basketball. So middle school, things start to take off a little bit for you. You realize that you're good. Were you always tall? Were you always tall for your grade? Or did you go through a spurt?
Always the tallest in my class.
Okay. And then you get to high school. When's the first time you dunked the basketball?
In a high school game or period?
Period. The first time you realized you could dunk on a 10-foot rim.
It was going in. It was the summer after my seventh grade year. That's when I got my first meltdown.
And give us the moment. Explain, describe it to us. Because you have to realize, combined, we have a 19-inch vertical leap. Combined.
And zero dunks.
Yeah, zero.
It was at Drive Nation, one of the first AU programs I played for. They got a gym. I mean, after like 50 tries every practice, I finally got it down on a Tuesday or Thursday.
Were you alone or was the team there?
No, the team was there. I was going nuts.
I love that.
You said that you were always the tallest on your team. I'm curious, in your development, middle school into high school, AAU, how do you start making the transition or preparing to be not the tallest guy on your team and develop the skill set that you have that isn't just like a back to the basket big, putting it in over guys who are 5'8" when you're 6'1"?
Well, that's a fantastic question. That's the first thing I think of.
Liam, listen.
Wait, let him go.
Hold on. We're going to have a long relationship, us and you. It's going to be great. But complimenting Ward is not the way to go, okay? It's just not good for anyone. It's not good for his family with his ego, and it's definitely not good for me.
I'll think about it.
Thank you.
No, but my grandfather, like, when I was younger and like getting to learn how to play basketball, the biggest thing he was like focused on was develop me as a guard, because he knew I wasn't going to be 7 foot. He knew I wasn't going to be 6 foot. He knew I was going to be somewhere in between. I'm always the tallest. So I got to develop guard skills because he knew I wasn't going to be back to the basket big. And so every team I was on growing up, if they put me with my back to the basket, wouldn't play for him. So gratefully, I was put on teams where I got to play a guard. I got to play a big some too, because I need to be versatile. But I mean, I can't thank him enough for that. That was a big part of my development.
Do you realize how lucky you are to have the grandpa and mom that you have that shepherded you through life? My dad made me work in his cigar store. Okay, that's the difference. That's why I ended up here. And you're ending up wearing Indiana playing Division I college basketball. But seriously, like, you've talked a lot about your mom and grandpa both. I've watched a lot of interviews with you. You're clearly very close with both and your sister. Can you just give us a breakdown, a little bit of your family and you know, what the dynamic was growing up?
I mean, if I was in the house or at school, if I was playing basketball, and if I was playing basketball, my mom, my grandpa, and my sister were there. So, I mean, it's really just spending so much time together and becoming close. Like, we're family. And like I said, basketball is a big part of our family. So it just allowed us to get super close.
Were there ever games out in the driveway at Thanksgiving that got heated? How did that go?
So I've been asked that question a lot. I actually know, like, just know, like, that never happened before. I mean, big heated conversations and talks have started, but never actual games.
Okay.
Wait, I just wanted to circle back to both your mom and all the businesses, you know, she's worked with and ran herself. And I believe, has your sister, while an undergrad at UT, did she start her own business as well?
No. She hasn't started.
Okay, but just growing up, watching your mom do all of that, give you all the support you needed to be where you're at, what have you learned from her that, you know, obviously she's there in Florida with you now, but I don't know if there's a move mom's making up to Bloomington, but assuming when you get to Bloomington, you're going to be even more on your own. What about the way mom has approached her life and her career? Are you going to take with you as you set off more on your own?
The biggest thing is that I've gotten from her is just work ethic. She's worked so hard, and harder than I've ever seen anybody work before, just to see me happy, see my sister happy. So, I mean, I can't thank her enough. I thank God every day for her. And another thing that I thank her for is how she raised me, because I've seen a lot of kids my age, younger and older, I can tell I haven't been raised right. And I noticed it, and I was like, my mom would not have let me allow that. she wouldn't let me act like that. So it's just seeing it now. I'm really thankful for it.
Could you do me a favor and ask your mom? My kids are 16, 13, and 11. So there's still some time to shape them. Is she okay if I send them down to her for a few years?
She loves kids.
Maybe, just get them straight. Just get them straight. Send them back. I'm whatever she's doing, it's working. Whatever I'm doing is a mess. All right. So, Liam, you're in high school. Let's talk about that state title. Let's talk about that title that you won. Walk us through the championship, the run to the championship, and what that felt like.
So it was my sophomore year. I just transferred to John Paul II High School. It was my first time at a private school, so I didn't really know what to expect. I missed the first 2-3 weeks of school because I was coming back from Team USA, the America's Championship gold medal. I won that, showed up 3 weeks late to school, got a bunch of work to make up on. So, I mean, I started a little slow there. But, I mean, the team was great. Coach Dan Lee, he was the coach. He's the coach of John Paul II. He was great. Helped me develop a lot as a player. Helped me come out of my shell and learn about myself and how to play with others well. I mean, it was a good season. We won the games we should have won. We lost a game or two we shouldn't have, but it all worked out in the end. We won the state championship.
What did that feel like when you knew you were walking off the court state champs?
I mean, I got tears in my eyes before the game just because, like, I was sitting by myself and just realized, like, man, this is it. Like, we could win this. So, I mean, go out there, play the game. Buzzer sounds, we're our scores beating their score. So, just running my team, jump, laughing, having a good time. It was amazing.
What do you think from just coming off winning it all with the Team USA? You know, like, take us back to that and what you brought from that experience that you think helped you hit the ground running there at John Paul. And even when it came time to win another title, what had you already learned by doing it once?
I mean, it's about being something bigger than yourself, because Team USA is probably one of the best honors ever to represent your country in anything. Getting to play a game and representing your country was amazing, and it's something I'll never forget. But I really didn't play a lot on that team, and that helped me appreciate the little things that I needed to do to actually get on the floor. When I got on the floor, I played well, but just that team was so good, and there's so much talent on that team. I had to do the little things right, and I think that translated over to John Paul II and the state championship team.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, that sophomore year is also the year that your recruiting started to go through the roof. And I think probably around that time is when Indiana got involved. So what do you remember about how Indiana got involved, and what was your first impression?
One day in practice, pretty sure it was Coach Walsh. He walks in the gym with 5 or 6 other coaches watching practice, introduces himself, and there goes a life-lasting relationship.
Did you know anything about Indiana at that time?
I've known Indiana as a super historic basketball state, Hoosiers.
Yes.
I didn't know how seriously people from Indiana took Indiana basketball, but now I do.
Well, I'm sure you've heard the comparison, the way Texas feels about football at the high school level. That's what's going on with Indiana and basketball. When you took your visits to Indiana, did you get to witness some of that firsthand? Were you there? I can't remember if during your official visits or if there was any games going on, but have you been in a basketball gym for a game in Indiana?
I haven't, unfortunately. I mean, I've watched a bunch of games. I've been sent videos of the atmosphere and just the crowd cheering. But I mean, even on my visits, it was football weekends. It was just still basketball, 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 basketball everywhere.
Yeah.
I can appreciate it because I'm a basketball geek.
So you make a big move after John Paul II. You go down to Mount Verd, which is the best of the best. What went into that decision? And was that a hard decision for you to pick up and go down there?
I mean, it was definitely a hard decision, just leaving home, leaving my friends, leaving my family. But it's the best decision I've ever made so far, besides committing to Indiana.
Second best.
And I mean, just I feel like I've progressed so much as a player, more mentally than physically, just learning the game from Coach Boyle, learning how to play with other players, learning how to play against great players every day in practice. I mean, it just translates to the court, and I feel like I'm just such a better player because of it.
Could you give us a quick Dan the life of a player at Mount Verd and how it's different from a regular high school basketball player?
Yeah. I mean, school, I have school from like 7:30 to 11, and then 7:30 to 12, then I eat 12 to 12:30, and then 12:30 to 1, I get taped, and at 1, practice starts. And I mean, we just practice really hard. We compete. We dive on the floor, blood, sweat, tears, all that. I mean, we're trying to win like a national championship. So practice is like 1 to 3, 3:30, and then we usually get shots up after from like 3:30 to 4. And then I come home, eat dinner, do some recovery, and then watch basketball, football, baseball, whatever.
What about, we've heard a lot about, you know, obviously strength and conditioning is such a huge part of being an athlete now and getting your body right and in the best possible way that you can. Cliff Marshall is, I'm sure, somebody that you've gotten to know pretty well already in your time visiting IU. And I'm sure there's been other communication when you've been off visits. Has Cliff given you a plan that you're putting into place even while you're at Mount Verd?
I don't have a plan yet. I think I'll probably have a plan when the season ends, but I haven't got one yet, but I am looking forward to getting a plan because he does amazing transformations with bodies.
So let's talk about that first visit to Indiana. That was during your junior year. Walk us through the visit. What did you see? What impacted you? What made Indiana on that visit a serious player for you in the recruitment?
Well, I really didn't take a lot of official visits, so Indiana was already a pretty major school for me.
Right.
I was really considering. I mean, it was one of my first official visits too, so I really didn't know what to expect. I mean, and just getting to interact with the coaches on a different, like in a different way, because like when they come here, when they come to like my school, we're always in a gym. We're always talking about basketball. But when we were in Indiana, I got to talk about things other than basketball. I got to just pick Coach Woody's mind about like things off the court and just life, you know?
How much fun was it? Because I know you're making these important life decisions, but it feels like going into that office, and even in practice, they get after it, but there seems to be so much fun and good humor going on. Is that in full display when you're there on a visit? Is there a lot of laughter?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're all just hanging out, you know, like I'm learning about school when I take an official visit, but I'm also getting to know these people and going to have fun with these people. But when it's time for practice, everybody locks in for sure.
Look, it's obvious how much you love Texas. It's your home. You're a Mavs fan. And it's no secret that Texas was recruiting you really hard. And then Texas went through some stuff with the coach and there was a change. How hard was it for you to get in your head that you're not going to go to the home school? Was that a big pull for you that you kind of needed to, an obstacle you had to get over mentally?
So Texas was very appealing, like you said, just because it's home.
I've been
watching Texas Longhorns play basketball, football. I mean, it's a big thing in Texas. Like UT is a big thing in Texas. So, but one thing I've always said is my goal is to play in the NBA, and I'm going to go somewhere that I think is going to help me get there, no matter the location. And Indiana's home.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So let's fast forward to your second visit, because Liam, I mean, we could talk to you all night long, and we're not going to do that. But we've been following Indiana basketball for our entire lives, and we're each 84 years old.
combined.
I can tell you, no, we're older than that. I can tell you there has never been an official visit with more focus or enthusiasm or excitement
build up.
Your official visit.
Yeah.
Obviously with a couple other guys, and we'll talk maybe a little bit about that in a minute, but that visit, there was so much hype around that visit. There were so many rumors online that Indiana was pulling all the stops and they were going to do something special. So you got to give us something about that visit. What happened on that visit that really kind of moved Indiana to the top of the list?
Well, to be honest, Indiana had been at the top of the list with one or two other schools since for a really long time. I don't know if the coaches or the fans knew that, but I knew that. My family knew that. Indiana was always up there, probably leading most of the time.
Wow.
I mean, I wouldn't say anything crazy or special happened, but I mean, it was an official visit, so I had a lot of fun. I'm sure the team had a lot of fun. We had a good time.
I can think of something that was different on that visit. There was a legendary Hoosier back in the building as part of the coaching staff. And if I showed you what's hanging on the wall in this room, it would be Calbert Chaney's autographed jersey, my all-time favorite player, many of us of our generation all-time favorite player. Just talk to us what it was like to talk to Calbert, and specifically about your game. And, you know, as a 6'7" wing, what did you guys talk about, and how much did his presence affect your decision?
So that was really, that's a big thing. That was a big pickup for Coach Woodson and that staff, just because it's another NBA basketball mind. And that was really appealing to me. So just getting to talk to him was super big, because he played in the NBA. He played my position in the NBA, and he played in Indiana in my position and in the NBA. So that's like, he has a formula. I'm trying to learn as much as I can from him, Coach Woodson, and the rest of the staff. I mean, after that, it was pretty easy for me.
Have you watched a lot of YouTube clips on Calbert as a Hoosier?
I haven't watched a ton, but I have seen a clip.
Guy was smooth. That guy was super smooth. What do you remember the first time? This is obviously back to your first visit. The first time you walked into Assembly Hall.
I had never seen anything like it before. Looked like an auditorium. Just humongous. It was beautiful.
Do you dream about what it's going to be like when you're wearing the candy stripes and you get to walk in there and they announce your name?
100%. I can't wait.
All right. So let's get to the recruitment is hot and heavy. Kansas is another school that obviously you are considering. Fans are scared to death because it's Kansas, and we really want you, and we don't want to hate you for the rest of our lives. So we really wanted you to pick Indiana. Give us when was the real moment where you decided it was going to be Indiana? Not the moment you told Indiana, but when did you know it was Indiana?
It was definitely after I took my Kansas and my Indiana visit. To be honest, I don't think it was a big crazy moment. I was probably sitting at home on my phone and something just clicked in me, like, I'm going to go to Indiana. I'm going to be open. I just felt comfortable.
Did you tell your mom immediately?
I really did. I was like, Mom, I'm going to Indiana. I swear, it's just like that. Like, okay. If you're good about it, I'm good about it.
And then tell us how you roll it out to the rest of your family. And then when you make the call to the coach, what's that like?
So I obviously told my family. Everybody kept it on the low. Everybody's good about that.
Yeah.
So Coach Woody and some of the staff, they've been flying down for practices. And they weren't going to come one week. It's like, Coach Woody, can you come down this Wednesday? He's like, I don't know. He had some Big Ten media day going on with Trey Galloway at X. But he came like the day before, and I spilled the beans to him. I told him I was coming to Indiana. He had no clue. Coach Kenya had no clue. Coach Hunter, as soon as I told Coach Woody, I called Coach Walsh. I messed with him a little bit, and then I tell him I'm coming to Indiana. And
what was their reaction?
Yeah.
I mean, Coach Woodson, he slapped his knees. He stood up, gave me a big hug. We were in this private room. It was just me, my mom, and him. I mean, it's something I'll never forget.
That is awesome. And then ESPN, during halftime of the game that preceded your game, you make the announcement. How cool was that? You got your teammates around you, your family's there. How great was that moment?
I mean, that's another moment I'll never forget. Just the joy and stress relief that had been built up. It was crazy, but I'm just glad we won, to be honest. So that was a big game that we played an hour after. But
can you?
I mean,
sorry, finish your thought. I interrupted.
It was just a great opportunity to do it on ESPN and have a bunch of Indiana fans watching and supporting me.
So, Liam, you've given us some hints at this and talked a little bit about it, but you could have gone anywhere. I mean, you really could have. And there's plenty of places that you could go that would probably get you to the NBA also. What was it about Indiana throughout the whole process that kept them at the top, and then ultimately it just clicked? Have you been able to kind of put your finger on it?
What I've been saying is just how long Indiana's been recruiting me, and like just the unwavering recruiting and like faith in me as a player, like the relationships I've built, like life-lasting relationships that I have. I feel really comfortable in Indiana, and that was really the deciding factor.
And is it fair to say that Coach Walsh was the primary recruiter on you the longest?
Definitely. That's my guy for life now. He recruited me so hard. He should get so much credit.
Well, you're his guy for life, and it's a good thing you committed to Indiana, because I think he would have been in Texas or Florida with a flamethrower if you didn't.
Maybe so.
All right. So let's talk about, because you put it out there in the world, moments after you committed to Indiana, you turned into recruiter in general. That's right. So there's been a lot of stories about how close you and Derek are, that you guys are basically brothers, really close. How difficult is it, though, to put it on Front Street that you're going to be recruiting him, but also respect that he's your friend who has to go through his process? By the way, is he in the room right now?
He is not in the room right
now. All right. That would have been something else. What has that been like for you?
I mean, like you said, like first, I'm his friend. Second, I'm his teammate recruiter. So I just got to respect him. He's got to make the best decision. Him and his family have to make the best decision for him. I mean, like you said, that's my brother. I want to play college basketball with him. I want to go to Indiana with him. So, I mean, I'm recruiting him hard. We watch all the games together. I mean, it just comes down to him.
Look, just one quick follow-up. We would never put you on the spot. That's not the kind of guys we are. But where is he going to go to college?
I mean,
if you had to guess.
Honest to God, I don't know. I feel good about Indiana just because I'm probably a little biased and I want it to happen. I might be manifesting it, but he's 50-50.
Okay. Well, in this new role as recruiter, I do wonder, like, you obviously got to see how an effective recruitment works by Coach Walsh and the rest of the Indiana staff. And if I'm not mistaken, Jalen, Malik also did their share of recruiting of you. I'm sure you had plenty of conversations or messages with those guys. So what are you learning about recruiting? Is it like, how do you push enough? How are you persistent enough, but like you don't pass the line where you become like annoying and a pest?
So there were definitely some coaches, I'm not going to say any names, that I would hate when they called. And I would just, like, I would not want them to call. I would not want to call them back or text with them. I mean, I really never felt that way about Indiana. I mean, they called a lot. Coach Walsh caught a lot, but I mean, I look forward to talk to him. It's really about just building like a sincere relationship, I think, because if you have a sincere relationship, it's like talking to your coach, it's like talking to your friend, your uncle, or like stuff like that. It's like, it's family.
When those other coaches called, what did you do? Did you ghost them? Would you ghost anybody? Or did you like make up lies? Like, hey, I'm in the middle of something. I can't. Grandpa's got me working on guard skills. I can't talk right now.
Maybe once or twice. I don't know.
What is the difference in feeling between before making the decision to Indiana and after making it? Were you stressed out before? Did you feel pressure of having to make the decision and now feel loose and free as you are, obviously have started your senior season?
Definitely. Like I said, like as soon as I committed, it was just so much pressure. It's like I had a good game after. I was playing loose. I've been playing loose since. Like there's just so much stress built up, and I committed, stress relief, and what I'm really happy about is that I'm confident in my decision. Like, I'm happy about my decision, so I really think I've made the best choice.
Oh, we know you have, 100%. Liam, like, I kind of can't get over just seeing you there in the hoodie, like, oh yeah, you're a Hoosier now. You got another season here ahead of you where you got some work to take care of before you come on up, but you are one of us, and I can speak on behalf of every single Hoosier. We couldn't be more delighted, more excited for you to get up there and be a part of the family, because as Eric can attest, and anybody else who's gone to that school, you know, even when you're not a basketball player, it's a really special place, and it will always feel like home, and you will always feel welcome there. And no matter where you go in the country or in the world, you will find other Hoosiers there. And if you're rocking that or another piece of gear, of course, you're also 6'7", 6'8", so they might just spot you without the swag, but it's a bond you now have with a million other people that's really special.
That is something I've noticed, like, just people I didn't even know that went to Indiana that I knew prior, they reached out and said, like, congratulations, that's so big, we're so happy for you. It's just, like you said, it's a different type of bond in Indiana. Like, not even basketball, just all Hoosiers.
I know you said steak is your favorite food, but how real is this obsession with Whataburger?
It couldn't be more real. I love Whataburger.
You've got to talk to the Whataburger people. Maybe your mom, the businesswoman, can start a franchise in Bloomington. Mm-hmm. We don't have a Whataburger in Bloomington.
I'm working on it.
Do you remember what restaurants they took you to in Bloomington?
Buffalo's.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. That's key.
That was a big hit for me and my family. I love Buffalo's.
Where did they do, because I know they do the big dinner. Where did they do the big dinner for you and Derek and Curtis when you came up?
Forget
Malibu Uptown.
I think it was Malibu.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think we went to Malibu and Uptown.
Yeah.
Nice. They're really rolling out the red carpet.
Yeah. It was great dinners. One of them was a seafood spot, I think.
Malibu. Yep.
Very nice. But Whataburger, if we get, there were fans talking about trying to ship you Whataburger. Like, that's how badly we wanted you.
There's no Whataburger in Florida. The closest one's like 7 hours away. So when I go back to Dallas, I get it like as much as I can. Just pray I'm back in Dallas. And
I've never had a Whataburger. Never had it.
Life-changing.
Well, Liam Ward said it great. You are part of the family. We love that you gave us this time and really appreciate it. We've been following your career for over 2 years now. And everything we've read about you, everything we've watched about you, you play the game and treat the game with the respect and the reverence that everybody at Indiana has for the game of basketball. You don't cheat the game. You don't cheat yourself. You care about your teammates. I've read stuff about, I mean, look, you play on a team with the most talented people in the country. I mean, Derek Queen, Cooper Flagg, Curtis. I mean, like, the list goes on. Asa. These guys are all top-end players, and it would be very easy to be on a team like that, and this is why Coach Boyle deserves so much credit. It'd be very easy for guys to want to get theirs, that never seems to be a peep of that. You never seem to be a guy hunting for your shot. You take the game as it comes. You like setting up your teammates. You're everything that we want in a basketball player, and we can't wait to welcome officially you and your family when you step foot on that campus as a student athlete. That is going to be a special day for you and your family and a special day for Indiana fans.
Yeah, so I really appreciate it. I really can't wait to get on campus and just officially be a Hoosier.
That was our guest.
Liam McNeely is awesome.
I'm a fan. I'm a big fan, not just of the basketball player, but of the human being.
The thing that stuck out to me, besides just how cool he is and awesome he is and was a good sport in our Derek Queen ribbing and just being a good sport with our craziness, was when he talked about the reason that it ended up being Indiana. We talk about it all the time. Relationships matter. And he said how long they recruited me, the relentless pursuit that Brian Walsh led. That mattered in the end. That mattered throughout. And these things are long, arduous, you know, a long, arduous process. And Indiana won this one.
And look, you've been harping on it, that this is the first real long-term recruitment of the Woody era. And yes, he's clearly excellent at the short-term recruitments. But to have a high-level, sustainable program, you need to win some of these long, drawn-out battles, especially going against the big boys. And that's exactly what they did.
Also, thank you, Chris Beard. Yeah. Just want to send our personal thanks to Chris Beard. Also, love that we have a player who loves Hoosiers. I mean, come on. Finally.
Yeah.
Finally, we have a recruit who loves the movie.
Look, it took him a moment, but we, as soon as we started sort of indicating what his answer should be, the light went off and it was very easy for him to make that answer.
Shouldn't it be the light went on?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did I say it wrong, or did I say the phrase right and the phrase is messed up?
I don't know. I mean, you said the light went off. I think sometimes people say the lights, it just seems weird. I don't know what the phrase is, because it sounded okay when you said it, but I thought that doesn't seem like it should be.
I think it's one of those ones people bastardize like I just did, but it really should. A light bulb went on over his head, right? It's like a cartoon.
The light switch got flipped.
Yeah, yeah. And the light goes on. So let's just, you and I make a pact to say it that way.
Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier Hysterics for the hysterics. No E.
No I.
But the sometimes why.
You remembered.
Nailed it this time.
Nailed it.
Liam will be the one doing it for the next 2 years. All right. We'll see you next week.
Yes, sir.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear a screaming shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.